With our special guest tonight, Stephen Martin, author of Cosmic Conversations, Dialogues on the Nature of the Universe and the Search for Reality. And up next, joining us for this hour, Dwayne Elgin joins us, former Coast to Coast guest. The Living Universe, where are we? Who are we? And where are we going? That's all next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dwayne Elgin with us now, internationally recognized visionary speaker, author, educator, and he's worked as a senior staff member of the Presidential Commission on the American Future, as well as a senior social scientist with the think tank SRI International, where he co-authored numerous studies of the future. He was just on with me, April of 2009, author of The Living Universe. Dwayne, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, George. It's good to be here. I'm doing well.
Pleasure. Stephen's with us, too. He's here for the full ride. Stephen, here's one of your interviewed guests.
Hey, Dwayne. Nice to be in conversation again.
Yes. Greetings, Stephen.
Dwayne, you know, as we were talking last hour about the puzzlement of the universe and just what it's all about, I remember when you and I talked about a year ago about the living universe, you brought up a lot of very interesting and at the same time perplexing questions about the same thing. Just who are we and what are we? Are we ever going to get the answers?
Well, you know, since we last talked, there's some new studies that have come out about the public at large. And it's very surprising and I think in many ways inspiring because it shows there's a cultural revolution underway in America, specifically with how we regard the universe. And this is from a national survey. It was done about 4 months ago. And basically what it found is that mystical experiences in America have doubled since the 60s. And a mystical experience is often defined as having an experience of union with the universe, a feeling of peace and safety and belonging with the universe. Now, in the 1960s, about 22% of the adult population said they had had that experience. Just recently, 50% of the adult population said they had had that experience. And that's a doubling. It's more than a doubling. It's a revolution in how the public at large is regarding the universe. This is big news, and I'm surprised it hasn't been more widely reported.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Do you think the universe is friendly toward us, toward life?
Well, you see, that's exactly what people are reporting in their direct experience. And rather than going to, what the scientists are saying, what I am saying, well, let's go to people, millions of people in their everyday lives, in their direct experience. How many of them have actually had the experience of feeling, really, I belong here? The universe at its foundations, at its center, is really filled with love, and I'm really safe in that love, and I feel connected with the whole thing. Now, in the 60s, that might have been a pretty marginal view, but today, that's a mainstream point of view. And here's an interesting thing, George. In the survey, it found that 55% of conservatives had had a mystical experience, but only 50% of liberals. which means this is not a far out liberal thing. It's more conservatives are having these experiences of connection, communion with a living universe. So once again, this is happening. This is real. This is this shows up in the surveys.
Do you think, Dwayne, there's an uneasiness with human beings that they need this? They need to feel some connection with something, the universe, something?
Oh, absolutely. This is our original home. This is, we're born out of this universe. We die into this universe. And if we do not feel at home here, boy, we really feel lost. And so I think deep down, even though we may not think about it too often, what we have is this existential anxiety and fear and wonder, do we really belong here? And what I'm finding from the survey is that more and more people are saying, yeah, I do belong here. I'm a precious part of this universe. And as Stephen says, I'm not just in the universe. I am the universe. I'm growing out of the universe. And it's a whole new feeling of being here. And I think that new feeling of being here is important if we're going to really give care and regard for the home around us, if you will, and not just simply exploit it.
I think so, too. And, Steve, let me ask you this. As you were interviewing Dwayne, and with his perspective on this, how did that fit into the book Cosmic Conversations? Did he surprise you with anything?
Well, I think he really confirmed my own ideas about the universe in that we live in a living reality. And, you know, probably more important than the question, what is the universe? A more important question is, what is my relationship to the universe? What is my relationship to that which surrounds us and that which has given birth to us? Because if you go back into our family tree, you know, you find primates, you find plants, you find early life, but you find stars, you find the universe. And so how do we relate to that in a meaningful way, in a way that's sustainable and creates the kind of culture going forward that we want to live in?
You ever get to the point, Dwayne, that anybody you may have talked to about the universe just emotionally loses it because they just can't seem to find the answer?
Well, what I found is very interesting is that people have strong opinions immediately. If you ask them, is the universe dead or alive at the center, at the foundations? Immediately, there are a whole bunch of folks will say, well, this is ridiculous. Of course not. It's just a bunch of inert matter and empty space. It's ridiculous to think that it could be anything other than that. And there's just a little bit of life around, and that's you and me. And other people, about half, will say, well, it's of course it's alive. How could it be otherwise that it isn't alive at the foundations and so on? And so this is just a wonderful conversation because people really do have strong views one way or the other.
You write about humans that were actually giants, Dwayne. Explain that.
Yes. Oh, this is such a wonderful insight because when we look out at the larger universe, we tend to think it's such an immense universe, we must be absolutely tiny, 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 with regard to the larger whole. And it really appears that way because the universe is so extraordinarily large, it's so immensely huge. But if we had a cosmic ruler, and that cosmic ruler went from the very largest scale of the known universe down to the very smallest scale of the universe, and we ask, where are we on that cosmic ruler from the large to the small? Much to our surprise, we now find we're roughly in the middle. Actually, we're a little on the big side. And that means, now this is stunning. We could just talk all night about this. It means that there's more smallness within us and then there is bigness beyond us. There's more smallness inside of us than there is bigness beyond us. We are giants in the scale of things. And we should not underestimate how much is happening at the very, very tiny scale that we tend to overlook and not pay attention to.
Why do you think, Dwayne, we have on this planet what I call good people, what I call evil people, greedy people, not so greedy people? Why do we get these disparities?
Well, I think it's a matter of whether we understand the dynamics of the world that we're living in or not, and the consequences of how we live. And for example, if I think the universe is essentially mostly inert matter and empty space, well, then I will have a tendency to exploit that which is around me for myself because I'm the most intensely alive. And I think there are a lot of folks with that kind of point of view. And it's a rational point of view if you look at the universe in that kind of way. But if, in fact, the universe is not that kind of system, it's deeply alive at the foundations, then those folks are acting in a way that's really out of character with the nature of the universe. They're mistakenly interacting with the universe. They will have consequences. Stephen spoke about this, that the universe is an interconnected system that does reverberate and give feedback. And so what I am suggesting is that we are discovering through the lens of science as well as spirituality that there are these deeper mutualities, interrelationships in the universe that we can now begin to respect because we have the confirmations from science.
Steve Duane writes about a Greek philosopher who believes that the universe is a single living creature, embracing all living creatures within it. I tend to think that may be very possible. What do you think?
I think so as well. I mean, this is, you know, a very traditional Greek view. I mean, the Greeks believe that the universe must be alive because we're alive. Clearly, we're living, mm-hmm. and we come from the larger whole. So it makes logical sense that if we're alive, then that which gave birth to us must be alive as well, because life cannot come from non-life. So it's a very ancient, very traditional view, and I think, you know, George, as you and I were talking about this previously, ancient cultures had these kinds of profound insights. But somewhere along the way, Western culture separated itself, you know, from the universe. You know, necessarily so to develop modern science, but I think now we're finding evidence, as Duane pointed out, that we have a deep connection to the universe. We're actually reconnecting to it through science. We're discovering things about the nature of the life that we are living and our relationship with the universe that are really astonishing.
The Who Are We portion of the Living Universe book that you wrote, Duane, who are we? Will we ever get that answer?
Well, what we're beginning to find, both through the lens of science as well as through spirituality and parapsychology and so on, what we're beginning to find is that we have to think outside the box of biology, that we're more than just our physical body. We are biological beings for sure, but that isn't the full scope of our being. And again, in the laboratory, through the work of Dean Radin and others, work that I participated in, we're beginning to discover there is, in fact, this subtle ecology of consciousness. We do, in fact, interact with it all the time. It's nothing special that, in fact, we do interact with it. The universe is wired that way. We're all connected into the, let's say, the intelligence network of a living universe. And so back to who are we, George, the question you asked, well, who we are, we're beings of both biological as well as dimension as well as cosmic connection. And I think what we're here to do is learning how to live in this living universe. And I've said before that I think our bodies are these biodegradable vehicles for acquiring the deeper soul-growing experiences that we're really here to acquire. So this is a learning universe. We're here to learn, and I think that's what's really going on, and that's who we are, as learning beings.
I think so, too. I think we're here to learn, enjoy, prosper, and then move on and leave the shell that we call our body,
yeah.
and go on to what is a very normal facet of this universe, and that's the other side.
Yes, I agree.
And once that and if we can learn, it'll be a pleasant other side. If we can't, it probably won't be.
I agree with that.
Between, I'm gonna pull both of you on this as well. We'll start with you first, Steve. Are you convinced that there is life after death?
Well, I think it's very possible, and I think we really have to redefine, you know, what we mean by life. We sort of contain life to meaning, you know, that which we experience in between birth and death. But as Duane said, we have to think very broadly about life. You know, what is this life of the universe that we are actually living? We are living agents of, and so we have to think about what's the greater life that's present here. We're really seeing just a very small fraction of the potential for life. And so I think it's a very distinct possibility.
How about you, Duane? Life after death.
Yes, I think it's, it personally, I would be astonished if there were not life after death. And I think it is virtually a certainty in my own view and experience. And I've had experiences where, there seemed to be interaction with the other side in a way that could be validated. Actually, it would take a while to describe that, but where I have an extremely high level of confidence that, as he was suggesting, we live in a multiverse with a multitude of life and life forms and expressions, and we're just kind of learning here how to get a hold of ourselves and engage ourselves and be ethical in how we live. And if we can do that here, well, then we can move on into other ecologies, other places, and other places of learning. So that's sort of how I see it.
Intelligent design, Dwayne, or random act of events?
Well, I think there's deep intelligence in the design of the universe, and the universe is not a machine. It is has freedom at the foundations, at the quantum foundations, as physicists know. It's a probabilistic universe, and so there's freedom at the foundations of it all. So I think it's intelligently designed with freedom at the foundations so that we can choose and learn in the process.
Steve, intelligent design or random act?
I think the universe reflects profound, deep intelligence. I tend to not use the word intelligent design because it kind of implies a designer which is separate from, you know, that which is designed. And I think the whole thing is a seamless unity. So the intelligence, the unity, and the universe are all kind of interwoven.
Where did, for example, this is what mystifies me. Where did the greed factor, pop in? And we've all heard of these stories of governments controlling other governments and other countries. And where did that come into the equation, Dwayne? How did that happen?
Well, I think it's a natural progression of, for example, when I go around the world talking to people about the life stage of the human family, most people say we're in our teenage stage as a species. We're in our adolescence, and we're looking in a very short-term way. We're looking very narrowly. We're looking in a very shallow way at our kind of materialism and such, and we have yet to move into our early adulthood as a human family where we look beyond the shallow materialism, the short-term and such, and look at things that matter more, like love and caring and compassion and the arts and service and generosity and all those other kind of invisible qualities. So I think, George and Steve, it's simply a matter we're growing up. And what the greed that we see right now that's so rampant is really an expression of our lack of maturity. And to get that maturity, we're going to go through the fire of initiation, the rite of passage that adolescents do around the world, but we're doing it as a whole human family. And so these are challenging times, but understandable, I think, in terms of just the human family growing up.
If you could put a dolphin in a human body for 1 week with a dolphin mind and, the way they are, I think more advanced than humans in some respects, I wonder what they would do.
Yeah.
If they had the capability of using arms and thumbs, and legs to do whatever they needed to do. I sometimes see our physical plane and our spiritual plane as almost like that. The spiritual plane is almost like being in a dolphin where you have to utilize other things in order to accomplish your goals. Where in your physical body, you've got all these things at our resources, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't live a good, proper life. And where do you go from there?
Yeah. Wonderful.
I've baffled both of you on that.
Well, I was just trying to imagine a dolphin in a human body and what they would do with the intelligence they have. If they were able to communicate and express and so on, love is just a fascinating image.
I'll tell you one thing, they would not create wars, that's for sure. Stay with us, more to come when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, James Gardner joins us. The Intelligent Universe is his work. When we come back, though, more with Dwayne Elgin as we talk about his work, The Living Universe, and also Steve Martin. And, of course, he is with us for the entire evening. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We're with Stephen Martin, Dwayne Elgin this hour. Dwayne, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a difference between individuals who care about their consciousness, they care about the universe, they ask questions, they want to know, and then the individual who could care less? This person just, wants to go get his job and go home and have dinner and watch television, let's say.
Yeah.
Is there a difference between those two in terms of their attitude toward life because of the way they look at the universe?
Absolutely. Not only towards life, but towards death. And in other words, to what extent are we really using our time here to discover who, in fact, we are? And if we are this soul, so to speak, it's described as a body of light or love, music, resonance, whatever, love. If that's who we are, and we're not using our time here to tend to that, care to that, cultivate that, nurture that, grow that, use that, extend that into the world, well, then we really wasted our time here. So it's not only our attitude towards life, it's an attitude towards death. It's and it's, it has to do with the intensity and the meaning and the purpose and the juice with which we're here. And I think the people that really care about the universe, that care about life, that they're tapping into the juice of aliveness. They're sharing that with others. They're bringing that enthusiasm for life into their own lives. So, yeah, I think that's really the pivot. That's the big difference I see.
What are your thoughts, Steve, on that?
I think the same thing, in that, you know, we live in a universe where it's evolving towards greater consciousness, greater depth, and greater complexity and interrelatedness over time. And to the extent that we do that in our own lives, we're essentially aligning with that life force of the universe, with the dynamics of creation. And so I think, you know, there's a profound way that we can actually align ourselves with the dynamics of the universe by expressing just what Duane was talking about, this livingness, this capacity for growth and curiosity, and making the best use of time that we have and the short time that we do in our lives.
Do you think these elders that you talked about the last hour, Steve, that they have their act together better than most scientists?
Well, I don't know if better than most scientists. They have insights into the universe from a different perspective. You know, remember, you know, these cultures have lived in harmony with the universe for thousands and tens of thousands of years. And so they have profound insights into the nature of the universe and how to live in harmony with that. And so I think they're one wonderful resource, which unfortunately is rapidly disappearing from our planet, that we really need in these days for us to move forward as a culture.
Duane, what would you ask Albert Einstein if you were around today?
Well, I would ask Albert why the speed of light is constant. Albert Einstein came up with his famous equation equals MC squared and such, and he said, well, I'm just going to assume the speed of light is constant, but there's never been a satisfactory explanation of why that is in fact the case. And that means that light is fundamental to the nature of this entire universe. It has something to do, the nature of light has something to do with the very fundamental nature of the entire universe. Steve can speak to this much more than I can as a physicist.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be woven into the foundations, and yet it may be bound up with, you know, our ideas about space and time. You know, as we've talked about in other ways, consciousness may have this capacity to actually go beyond our ideas of space and time, and so perhaps there are some interesting relationships between consciousness and light itself. I mean, I explored some of these in my talk with Peter Russell. You know, it's interesting that, you know, consciousness is sometimes seen as a form of light, an inner light. And what is this relationship to the light of the universe? Maybe that's the universe expressing itself in a particular way.
Yeah. I think that is, in fact, the case, yes.
Do most scientists believe that consciousness is an essential part of all of this?
I would say not. This is in my experience, no. And it'd be very dubious, very skeptical of this particular conversation, I think, a majority of scientists. But on the other hand, if they would be willing to take the time, go through the evidence, and look systematically at what is now emerging, it's a revolution that's unfolding where the tools of science are essentially undoing the traditional assumptions of science. And what science is revealing to itself is that the universe appears to have consciousness all the way down. There is a sentience or a primary perception or whatever we call it, functioning throughout the universe. This is an amazing place, the more we look.
Oh, it truly is. And the complexity of it is truly remarkable. And that's what gets me, Dwayne and Steve, more than anything. The fact that it's like a puzzle and all these little pieces fit.
Yeah.
Just incredible. However it got designed, it was genius. And are there many? Are there many like ours out there? Steve?
It's a good question. We don't know. You know, we don't even know for sure how many dimensions our universe has. I mean, does it have 3 dimensions, 4, as Einstein said? Does it have 11 or 21, as string theory suggests? We're not even sure what we're working with in terms of dimensions or even size. And so we're really, you know, in the very early stages of discovering what kind of universe we live in.
Well, we know one thing. We know it's here. We know it's real, I think. I don't think it's a dream. But some have theorized that we're in a dream now, Dwayne.
Well, it's so fascinating that we recently discovered that 96% of the known universe is invisible. You were speaking about this, that we're in the visible 4%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is quite astonishing that we've been trying to come up with a theory of everything, but it's really a theory of 4%. And what's going on out there, and what kind of maybe consciousness and energy and generative force are we overlooking in that 96% and even beyond that? So as Steve was suggesting, we're at the very beginning stages of reawakening to a new vision and a new intimacy with this extraordinary universe that we're living in.
Is there an underlying field of life energy, as you call it, Dwayne, that's out there?
Absolutely, it appears to be, whether you call it life energy or not, I certainly would. Other scientists, and I'm going to let Steve speak to this, we call it zero-point energy or other descriptions that say at the foundations, in a way that we can't explain, there is a phenomenal amount of energy, and that energy is flowing throughout the universe. We're flow-through beings in a flow-through universe. Steve, how do you describe that?
I would describe it either as living energy, as you said, Dwayne, or also as a creativity. More and more physicists these days are saying that there's creativity at the foundations of the universe. I mean, we are creative, you know, innately because we live in a creative, you know, living, dynamic, evolving universe. And so the fact that there's creativity at the basis for everything, I think, is a profoundly optimistic view, because there's always the possibility for something new coming in. No matter how dire the situation, there's always room for something new to come in.
Yeah.
Dwayne, why is it even important to even try to hypothesize what it's all about?
Well, does this place have any purpose or not? And I feel... my life indeed has a tremendous purpose in terms of I'm here to learn how to live in this living universe, and if I don't pay attention, I'm going to waste an extraordinary opportunity. Who knows when I might have that again? It's so unique, so precious, so unlikely that we show up here. We've spoken earlier about, golly, is there life anywhere else in the universe? Well, that I don't know, but I know it's very rare, very precious here, and it's time to use these few years in a way that really allows me to just take the juice out of life, you know, and not just sail along the surface of it all. So I think it really, really does matter more profoundly than we can probably even imagine.
You know what I find also just so strange? I mean, earthquake in China, 600 dead. Earthquakes in Haiti, hundreds of thousands dead. Earthquakes in Chile, many dead. I mean, you know, tsunamis, hundreds of thousands die. I mean, individual lives, they're gone. They're just gone like that. Yet the planet continues, it moves on. And those of us who aren't living in those regions function as if it really didn't happen, honestly. And that's kind of sad, but it's true. It's a big planet. It's a huge universe.
Yeah, it's certainly is, and it has its own, I don't want to say agenda, but it has its own movement, its own unfoldment. And, you know, that may or may not be in the direction that we're going as well. So we have to take that into account, that we're part of something much larger. And how can we both recognize what it is and align ourselves with it? Because that's the direction that things are going, is the direction that the universe is unfolding.
Does this universe have its own destiny to it? Dwayne?
Yeah, I think the if we look, this is a very elegant universe, and what it's doing at every scale that I can see is creating what appears to be self-organizing systems, and that means things that get a hold of themselves, grab a hold of themselves. Might be a flower becoming a flower, a tree becoming a flea, a tree, a person, you know, just growing into a person. These are all self-organizing systems. And so I think the universe is a place of great freedom, where we're here to learn, and in a context of that freedom, there's going to be a lot of mistakes. Those mistakes are going to be painful. We see consequences happening all around us of that freedom and that creativity that Steve is speaking about. And I think actually speaking about what you were mentioning before, George, about the apparent disconnection, we're finding more and more interconnection as the world weaves together into this global brain and a sensitivity to one another. And I think that is just going to grow by leaps and bounds until we are really a very fully unified family here, not only in idea, but really in name as we work through these difficult times.
Steve, in your case, with all the people you interviewed, what percent said, I understand this. I know who I am. I know where I'm going. I know what it's all about.
Oh, I'd say that's, you know, very, very small percentage, because who we are is constantly changing. I mean, as we discover more about the universe, we discover more about ourselves. And so it's an ongoing question. It's an ongoing inquiry. And so I think, you know, we'll answer who we are when we finally say, this is what the universe is. I think it's, you know, way in the future, if ever.
Well, that's a good point. Dwayne?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. That this, we're just crawling out of a black hole. We're a couple of steps. If a black hole is one dimension, when we're three, we're two steps above that. Physicists are now talking about a universe of infinite dimensionality. We're just getting started here. We're just crawling out of collapse. So we shouldn't overly congratulate ourselves, and we ought to just kind of look ahead with optimism and hope. And we've got a long journey in front of us.
Where does theology fit into this, Dwayne, when they try to manipulate and scare and control, in some cases, organized religion does try to control?
Yeah. You know, what's happening, and at the beginning I mentioned this poll that said half the public now has had these direct experiences of oneness with the universe and felt at home, a sense of belonging, and all the rest. Now, what's happening is that we're moving from, let's say, religions of belief to people having direct experience, saying, I don't need someone to stand between me and this is happening. It's in my life. It's in my experience. I know it directly. And so we have a new phenomenon happening here broadly. This is half of the public. And so we have a religion, in a way, has been an intermediary, and now we're getting a situation where people are getting it directly. So this is fundamentally shifting.
In your opinion, what happens to people who tap into this, who practice it?
They're more alive.
I think so.
They're more alive. they're more enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm means to liberate the God within, to celebrate that. And so you find people that are more generous. They're more interesting. They're more engaged. They're more curious. Steve, what do you think?
I think you're entirely right. I mean, when we have these deep, profound, personal insights into the nature of reality, it changes us in deep, fundamental ways.
Yeah.
We become much more open to ourselves, to each other, to the mystery, and we begin to express that more fully in our lives, both for our own benefit and the benefit of those around us. We become more selfless because we're actually acting not only not out of our self-interest, but out of the interest of the whole.
Yeah.
And isn't it true that most of these people who believe in this or practice it, that the doors seem to open for them more than someone else?
I think so, because they're not fighting against the universe. They're basically flowing with it. And, yeah, I mean, I think that opens doors like nothing else.
Absolutely. Dwayne, so what have you been doing since we last talked a year ago?
Well, I've been talking with a lot of people about my book, The Living Universe, and what that means about just as we've spoken about here today. I've also published another book, a third edition of my book, Voluntary Simplicity, about living a life of sustainable prosperity, if you will. So I'm doing that and doing a lot of speaking and teaching and such.
What will get us more answers, Dwayne? Will it be technology? What will happen?
Well, what's wonderful is that there's an explosion and a collision happening at the same time of both the technology and the sensitive inquiry that's going on there and the integrative inquiry, combining now with the world's wisdom traditions, more than 2,000 years of people doing very, very quiet, contemplative processes, and now we're beginning to see all of these weave together and inform us in new ways, and that's where we're now beginning to see, in my estimation, like I'm writing about the living universe, and that's coming from both of these traditions converging.
Well, you know, some of the pictures that Hubble has sent back to us clearly looks like living pods of star systems growing, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's phenomenal. Oh, absolutely. If you don't look out there and see a liveness and the elegance and beauty of that, it's not a machine out there. It's a flowering, a blossoming that's happening.
Do you think it's the consciousness that creates the aliveness in the universe?
Oh, that's, yes. Well, I think the aliveness and consciousness go together, and the energy of it all, and the mystery of it all, and I can't capture it. I'm not sure.
How about you, Steve?
I think so. I think aliveness, intelligence, and consciousness are inseparable. They're, you know, three different aspects of the same mysterious phenomenon that we're calling the universe.
Dwayne, if you could get this one answer, whatever it is, to a question, what would the question be?
Well, it would be, you know, Einstein asked the question, is the universe friendly or not? The question I was asking is even more fundamental in many ways, is the universe alive or not? And
how could it not? Could it not be alive?
Yeah, well, now, George, there is another half that say, golly, that's a superstition, George. You know better.
You're nuts, George.
Yeah. That's my question. I'd ask that.
There's just more to it. What's your website, Dwayne?
It's awakeningearth.org. It starts with an A, awakeningearth.org.
All right. Thank you, Dwayne, for coming on the program.
Yep.
Appreciate it. When we come back in just a moment, James Gardner will join us, and we will talk about his theories as well. Steve interviewed him for his book, Cosmic Conversations, as well. So we'll be back in just a second with still another guest on Coast to Coast AM.